We begin the current daf Maseches Chagiga, daf Chav Gimel. We begin on the bottom of Chav Beis and Beis, three lines up from the bottom of the Yamad, where the Gemara continues the discussion for the previous daf and from the Mishnah daf Chav, which opened up this parak of Chaymer Bakaydish. That is, we spoke about 11 different stringencies that apply just by Kachim and not by Truma. Now the Gemara continues quoting from our Mishnah, which talks about Chumra number 3. Hanaisi Esai Medris, if someone is carrying Medris, something that has a tumma of a zav that steps on it, treading, which then gives that the status of an ava tumma to that object. So if he's carrying that, then noiseh truma. At the same time, he could be carrying truma of loisa kodesh, but he cannot be carrying kodesh. Now we're talking about that when it's in a kli charis. However, although generally, no matter, even if you're carrying something that's an ava tumma, but the fact that what you're carrying inside, whether it be truma or kachim, is earthenware vessel, and you cannot transmit tumma from the outside of a kli charis. So that's where the Gemara's questions open up and says, kodesh my time aloy. What is the understanding of this stringency that we said applies to kachim if it should be just like truma, in the sense that even if you're carrying in one hand something that's a medris, something that has a tumma of an ava tumma, but still there's no transmission of tumma from you to that object or from the medris to that object because it's inside a kli charis, and kli charis cannot contract tumma from the outside. So whatever's inside, even the kachim, it should be protected. So the Gemara answers, you're right, but mishum ma'aseh shehaya, because of a certain incident that happened and that created tumma, so therefore from then on we made a gezeirah to say that one should never do that when one is carrying kachim. Dam Rav Yehuda Mishmol said, ma'aseh be'echa, there was an incident with an individual, he's transporting wine of kachim from one place to another place. Now, and then, however, a strap of his sandal tore. Now, he was a zav, making his strap of his sandal into a medra zav. It had the status of something that a zav treads on, which is an ava tumma. Now, with a tala, then he took it in his hand, and he put it on top of the barrel. That's because he wanted to have his hands free to carry the barrel. So he puts it on top of the barrel. What happened was it fell into the ear space of the barrel, where a kli charis does contract tumma from inside its ear space, and thereby it went and transmitted tumma to the wine of kachim that's inside, where there's nesachim, we have wine that are kachim, and then it made it tamei. And therefore, Ba'isa Sha'amra, at that time, at that moment, they said, Anaisis HaMedris, if someone is carrying a medris, which is what this guy was doing when he was carrying his strap of his sandal, then Anaisis HaTruma. We let him carry the truma. In another hand, inside the barrel of Kli Charis, Avoloyas HaKadosh, but not by Kachim. As we see that this is what happened, and it made the wine inside tummy. So that's because of that incident that happened, that there is such a possibility. So the Gemara asks, Ihachi Truma Nami. So why is Truma any different than Kachim? It is also something that could become tummy from the strap of the sandal of a Zav. And you also could be carrying it. At the same time, you want to make your load lighter. You're going to put it on top of the barrel and it could fall in. So why is it different than Kachim? So the Gemara answers, you're right. Technically, it's the same concern. But Hamani, who is the Tana of our Mishnah that says it only applies because of that incident, only by Kachim, as that story was just by Kachim, and not by Truma? It's Rabbi Hananya ben Akavihi, who he says anywhere that there is many times where the Chacham made a gezerah regarding an incident because of something that happened, and since that was the impetus of the gezerah, they only made the gezerah exactly in the same circumstances and variables as that actual story had happened. And that same way is, Damar, he says, Loi Ostru El Biyardin, regarding a certain halacha, which was based on a story similar to our halacha, it happened and therefore was only made forbidden El Biyardin by the Jordan River. Ubisvina has to be with a ship. Ukamaisa Shaya, and exactly as that story happened. And therefore, the same thing applies over here, since this story that happened with the sandal strap of the Zav was by Kachim, and therefore they went and they made the Gzerah by Kachim too. So though the halachic concern could really apply to Truma, same as Kachim, but it's not really something that is a straight-up halacha. It's a concern because of something that once happened. So to avoid that story again, they made a Gzerah. They only make it exactly like that story was by Kachim, so therefore the Gzerah is by Kachim. As the Gemara explains, Mahi, what is this opinion of Rabbi Hananya ben Akavia, where there's a machlokes regarding a certain halacha, where he says, no, it's only exactly as that story had happened, something went wrong, so now we make that same circumstances will be forbidden, but not anything that's similar in halacha, and hence same here also, truma will not be forbidden, it's only by kachim, because that's the story that happened. So the halacha is the Tanakh, like Linda Braisa. The Tanakhama says, lo yisa adam mechatas ve'efrachatas, a person is not allowed to carry, to transport, the chatas waters, which is a certain process of getting the waters that are used to purify someone that became tameh from touching a corpse. And there's also efrachatas, which are the ashes of the paraduma. When they burn it, there's two elements, the ashes and the water. So if one has either one of those, he's not allowed to carry it. V'avirim b'yarden u'besvin, that to transport across the Jordan River with a ship. But it's not just over there. Moreover, v'lo yamed b'tzad zeh, he's not allowed to stand on one side of the river. V'yizrukim b'tzad achar, and to throw it to the other side of the river. Moreover, v'lo yeshitim al p'nei ha'mayim, he's not allowed to float it across the river by itself. Neither is allowed to transport these ashes or the water of the chatas, which are the purification waters for someone that became tummy from a mess, not on top of an animal, not on top of his friend's back. Only if his legs were touching the ground. That's because the story that had happened, as we're going to explain shortly, was on a ship. Now, the ship is not going to be the only variable. It's going to be anything that is similar to that. That's because a ship doesn't touch the ground. It's like going in the ear because it's not on the ground. Hence, this opinion holds, the Tanakhama holds, therefore they made the gezeira on anything that's in the ear that's not grounded, that's not touching the ground. And therefore, all these cases, throwing across, floating it across, they're all problematic. You can't transport it like that. Aval mavir nagabe gesher, but you could transport it over a bridge, since ultimately your feet are touching the ground, even though that ground is over the ear, but it's on the ground. And ve'in cheshesh, and then you don't have to be concerned. And the halacha applies echad yarden ve'echad shahar naris. It's not just the Jordan River, any river. So therefore, if it shares the similar characteristics as what that story was, then it's going to be a problem. You can't transport it like that. Whereas Reb Chananya ben Akavi Omer says no. As we quoted before, he says le'astru el biyarden. They only made it forbidden only by the Jordan River and not by other rivers. Only ubisvina, only on the ship. But if you float it across the water or you stand on one side of the river and you throw it across the other side of the river, even if it's being transported in the ear, similar to what a ship is, that's not a problem because it has to be the Jordan, a ship, and exactly as that incident had happened where something went wrong, now we said those same exact circumstances will be forbidden, but even though it's similar, that won't be a problem. As Gemara explains, my Maisa Shahaya, what was this story that started this whole gezeira of not allowed to transporting the mechatas or the evrachatas either by exactly over the svina in the yardin or anything even similar to that as it is over the ear space? Some of you the Marav, Maisa Ba'adim Echa, there was an incident where an individual, Shayimavar mechatas ve'evrachatas, he was transporting, they had to get the purification waters from one part to the other part. They had the waters of the chatas and the ashes of the chatas. Now, he was transporting them b'yardin b'svin, he was crossing the Jordan River on a ship. Now, v'nimtza kezayis meis tochuv b'karkiyosta shel svina. What did they found? They found a kezayis size of an olive of a corpse that was buried in the bottom of the ship. Now, when he went over that part of the ship and he was walking on top, so he was an oihel, he was leaning over it, over that part of the corpse, which then transmits tumah to anything on top of it, and hence, making the mechatas and evrachatas tumah. So Ba'isa Shamra, at that moment they said, La Yisa Adam Mechatas, Evachatas, a person not allowed to carry, to transport the waters of the purification waters, or the ashes, via Virim Biyardim Bismina, and then to go across the Jordan in the ship because of the story that happened. And hence, that is the opinion of our Mishnah, Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya, who says it's only exactly like it happened, not anything even similar to what it would seem. These are the circumstances that could be problematic. Hence, regarding our halacha, was also based on the incident, which only applies to kachem and doesn't apply to truma because of that person that had the strap that put it on top of his barrel and fell into the wine of kachem. So therefore, they said, no more. You can't go ahead and carry a barrel of kachem and a strap, meaning to have an avatam of medris, only because of that story, but even though halachically it should apply to truma, but we don't make it gzera only exactly as the maisa shahaya, and therefore by truma it's not a problem. Nothing more continues regarding this halacha that we're discussing, the stringency of kachem over truma regarding this having the avatum of medris at the same time as kachem is forbidden. So Yibaylu, they had the following three questions. Sandal tame. In other words, definitely this that we said that this gzera, that you shouldn't carry kachem, we said you can't carry it together with a sandal that's tame, that's a medris of avatum, because that's exactly how the story was. However, sandal tahor mahu. What would be the halacha? Can you carry a barrel of, let's say, kachem wine at the same time as you're carrying a non-tamei sandal. And as Rashi explains, the question was, will we say that you're never allowed to carry any strap of a sandal, even though it's tar, because then you might come to carry it when it's tameh, and then you're going to run into that problem, or not? Another question they had was, chavis pesucha. Definitely, when we made the gzeira of carrying the avatoma, of the strap, let's say, of the sandal, at the same time as the barrel of the kachim, that definitely was told by an open barrel, because that was exactly the story that happened, that he put on top and it fell inside, and that's a problem. But chavis stuma mahu, what would be the halacha if it's a closed barrel? Then essentially the question never begins, because it cannot contract tumah from the outside because it's a kli cheres, and it's not going to fall in because there's no opening. What's halacha over there? So the Gemara doesn't resolve those two questions, but it moves on to the third question, which it does, avar v'nasa mahu. Okay, so that was the stringency of kachim over truma. You're not allowed to carry them both at the same time. But what happens if someone did and violated that chumrah? What's the halacha? So we have a machlekes. Rabbi Ilo Amar, he says, im avar v'nasa tame. He says, if he did violate this and he did carry it, then we consider that kachim as tame. Rabbi Zeir Amar, he says, no, avar v'nasa tar. If someone violated and did carry it, we do not consider it tame. It's a certain chumrah maila that we have, but if he did it, we're not going to make what's inside to be considered tame. Now the Gemara continues to chumrah number 6. Although on the previous discussions we went through number 1, 2, and 3, number 4 is related to the Mishnah we had already discussed in the previous Mishnah, which spoke about that a lower level person of his status of Tahara, let's say an Amah Oretz regarding Prushim, or Prushim regarding Ichli Truma regarding those who keep Kachim. So we already spoke about the fourth chumrah that we consider that those who eat Truma, that their clothing will be considered like a Medras, as if that it's totally avatuma for the one on a higher level of kachim. So that's a fourth chumrah of kachim over truma. And the fifth one we already discussed in the previous discussion regarding the first chumrah, because that is of the knotted beged of kachim. If you want the tayvel, if you want the mersid, you have to undo the knot. That came into discussion because that would be a problem of chatzitza regarding the first stringency where we had a discussion of kli b'toch kli, if that was also because of chatzitza, as Rabbi Ila had said, or that was because of a different concern as Rava had said. So that was already discussed. So the Gemara moves on now to the sixth stringency mentioned in our Mishnah, which were Kalim HaNigmar B'Tahara. Regarding a utensil that was concluded, was completed, when it only becomes susceptible to Tumah when it's completed as a utensil, but it was completed in Tahara. We know for sure that once it was completed, no Tumah came in contact with it. On that we said, so Betruma, you don't have to have Merced because it's Tahara. But for Tefillah, we said, for Kaidish, we said it still requires a Tefillah. So the Gemara asks, what's the understanding of this halacha? The gamrinuman, who is it that finished, that made it? Who is the made the utensil? Ilim the gamrinu chaver. If you say that it was a tamach chacham, those who are careful about the halachas of tahara, he completed the utensil. So lamhu tevila. Why is it that by kachem we have the stringency that you have to immerse it? Why would we immerse it? It's totally tar. El the gamrinu ama ored. So what are you going to say? That it was an ignoramus that he finished it. Well, then the question is, Nigmarim b'tahara karlu, would we call it? The case conceptualization wouldn't make sense. You're saying that we have this stringency by kachim, I guess, just in case that if it became tameh. But you can't call it a nigma b'tahara if everything they do is tameh. So what exactly is the case? How can you have that it was nigmarim b'tahara and yet still say that it needs to have a tefillah? If it was a chaver that did it, so then it is tahara and then there's no tefillah. And if Amaretz did it, then you can't even call it nigmarim b'tahara. It was nigmarim b'tumah. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Shila, Amar Rav Masna, Amar Shmuel, says, La'olam de gamrinu chaver. Truth is, for it to be considered and qualified as nigmar b'tahara, that when it was finally made, definitely there was no tumah that came in contact with it. It must be that a chaver, someone that's meticulous in these halachas of tumah tahara, he completed it. However, so what's the concern? Why would we have to do a tefillah, at least for kachim, where we're more stringent? U'mishum tzinur da'ama arts, it's because of a stream of an ignoramus. What that means is that maybe the chaver, he finished his keli, no tumah is coming in contact with it, but his neighbor, the Yama Aretz, was talking with him, and a stream of his spit went and touched onto the utensil that the chaver is holding onto, and boom, his spit makes it tameh. And if it makes it tameh, you have to go ahead and table it. Now the Gemara asks, the Nafal Emas, when exactly is it that you're saying he's talking to his friend, and the Yama Aretz, who all his roika and his mimiraglum, all the liquids that come out of his body are considered like a avatama, when did this happen? If it was before he finished making it, his neighbor comes over and says, hey, what are you making over there? He says, oh, I'm making this beautiful bowl. Say, it wasn't finished yet, and then he's talking and his spit goes on it. But halav manahu, at that point in time, it's not a utensil, hence it's not vulnerable to tumah, so the fact that he's spitting it doesn't make a difference. Elabasa the gamri, so what are you going to say? It's after he finished making it already. But then the Gemara asks, that can't be because Mizah Zarabahu, the Chavar is very careful about it. He's not going to let him talk to it. He knows that his spit can make it Tameh. So how can you ever have this concern of the stream of his spit making his Keli Tameh, even though he was careful to be Gemarit Patahara, to require Tevila by Kachim? So the Gemara says, Lo'ila Mekimei Degamri. You're right. Because once it's finished, he's not letting the Amaretz come close to that. So rather, it's still not before he completed it. But what's the concern? It's not vulnerable to Tameh then. But Vidilma in the Degamri, because maybe once he finally did finish it, Adai in Lachihi, maybe the spittle was still moist. Then it's going to go ahead and transmit Tumah to the Kli because of Azav, as we learned in Masechtas Nidah of Nodalim Abeis, that the Mishnah teaches that regarding the liquids that flow from him and the spittle, they transmit Tumah when they're moist, but they don't transmit Tumah when they're dry. So therefore, our concern is that maybe he was speaking to him before it's finished, so then he lets his friend come over the Amoritz and look at it because it's not finished yet, but even though it's not finished yet, the spit will be laying there. And when he finally finishes it, if it's still moist, then it's going to transmit the Tumah. And that's for that we're concerned for. And that's why we require Tefillah by Kachim. Now, the Gemara makes an inference regarding this halacha. So fine, that's the understanding of the stringency of Kachim, that we're concerned for this situation. And therefore, you have to go ahead and immerse that Kli that was Nigma B'Tahara. But the Gemara says, Tefillah in. What it sounds like from halacha is that, yes, you have to immerse the Kli. But Harav Shemesh Loi, but it sounds like you don't need to wait for sundown. That is the different levels of Tahara that apply to a purification process. There's the actual immersion, but then for certain things you have to wait for sundown. Certain things you even have to wait for the next day of when you're Mechusik Yipurim to bring your atonement. But from our Mishnah, it sounds like for this concern of the spittle of the Zav, if his neighbor the Amoritz that we assume to be a Zav, that if it's still moist, so you have to immerse it, but that's all. You don't have to wait for sundown. So therefore the Gemara says, Mas nidna like Rabbi Eliezer. Seems like that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Eliezer. It's not like learn the Mishnah Masechtas Par as follows. Shfeiferes shechotcha lechatas. Regarding this, it's like a straw-shaped receptacle, which was cut, let's say it's a reed, it was cut for the purposes of putting the ashes of the Parah Aduma, which is always called chatas, the mechatas, the purification waters, if one made this receptacle, to put in the, it's like a straw-shaped receptacle. He made it for to put the ashes of the paradum in it. So there's a specific process what we have to do for it. And this is related, as the Gemara will explain, regarding anything that comes in the process of paraduma. There's a specific way we do it, that we make a tummy first. We want it to be tummy, then to immerse it. Then it's a tful yoim. And then we go ahead and use it, as the Gemara will explain, because we want it to come lafuke from the das of the tzedukah. So Rebbe Eliezer Oime, he says, what you do is that yitval miyad. What you do is that you immediately go and you immerse it. Essentially what he's saying is, as we'll see regarding his disputant, that you don't have to go ahead and transmit other tumah to that receptacle, to that shvayferis, to that straw-shaped receptacle. And the reason is, as Igmo will shortly explain, because it's already tumah. And as we explain, that anything that's used for the paraduma, if it's a type of a utensil that could contract tumah, it first needs tevila, and then before sundown, before there's ever any sundown, you use it for that paraduma. Again, as we said, we're going to explain why is it necessary for it to first be tumah, then to tevila, and then before sundown, we dafka want to use it in that state. But be that as it may, Rabbi Eliezer is saying, you don't have to go ahead and make it tumah, because it's already tumah, why, we'll see. And then you can go ahead and, after you tevila, then you use it. Rabbi Shuaimer, he argues. He says, no, yitame. You have to take this reed, this receptacle that was made for putting the ash of the paradum in it. You have to go ahead and, let's say, put a sheretz on it. You have to make it tame. And then ba'achakach yitvol, then you go ahead, now it's tame, you have to immerse it, and then you'll use it in that state of tevul yaim. Now, the Gemara says, so that's the machlekes in Masechtas Parah. Ba'avinaba, and we had asked regarding this case that they're arguing about. The chatzchaman, who was it that cut this reed that we're creating into this thin receptacle that we put the ashes in it, who cut it? If it's a Tama Chacham that's meticulous with Allah, he cut it. So, Lama li Tvila, then why do I need a Tvila to purify this reed? Now, essentially what the Gemara's question is that since there's no Tuma, because the Chavar cut it, so then the fact that I'm doing a Tvila is not going to help. Because, and this question is especially strong according to Rabbi Eliezer, who says you're not being metamit, So there's no heker for tzedukim, as we're going to shortly explain, the tzedukim who said that, no, you need to have Harav Shemesh. You need sundown, because that's a purification. Just Tful Yom won't work. Now, the Talmid Chacham, the Chacham, they learned that actually Tful Yom does work. So specifically, we made it that way to come lafuki, to exclude from what the tzedukim held, who they said it can't be but Tful Yom. But the problem is, if a chaver cut it, so what is tevila doing? It's like just swimming in a pool. There's no tevila going on. It's not a tvul yoim. It's already better than Harav Shemesh. And therefore, it's not going to come to exclude from the das of tzedukim because it never came in contact with tumah. So therefore, the Gemara says that we had to conclude. Well, the chatcha ma'aretz, it must be they're talking about a case that an ama'aretz, ignoramus, cut it. So on that, the question is, so fine, now we understand Rabbi Eliezer, why he says you don't have to go out and be metamit. The Amar's went and cut it. It became tummy when he made it into a receptacle. So that's why you go out and tevel miyad. But on that, the question is, so what Baha'u'llah Rabbi Yeshua yitama b'yitvol? But the question is, now how do we understand Rabbi Yeshua? In that case, he says, no, it's not enough that he cut it and they have a receptacle. You have to go ahead and touch it with a sheretz, make a tummy, and then you immerse it. The question is, Baha'u'llah tummy b'kai. It makes sense like Rabbi Eliezer. It's already tummy because the Amar's cut it. How do we understand this case that they're arguing about? Which one opinion says that you don't have to be metamed, it's already tameh. And the other opinion says, no, you have to be metamed. Either way, it's hard to understand. If it's talking about a chavra, we don't understand the one that says that you don't have to be metamed. And if it's talking about ma'aretz, we don't understand Rabbi Yeshua, it says you have to be metamed. So the Gemara had said, v'amar rabbi bar shilu, amar rav mas namar shmul. So they answered as follows. La'olam dechad chachav. The truth is, it's talking about that a tamachacha went and cut it. So then the question is, so then it's not tameh. So how do we understand Rabbi Eliezer, who says that you could tevel it right away? So the answer is, mishum tzinur da'ama aretz. The reason is because there is tumah here that we are concerned for, which would mandate a tefillah. And hence, if you use it in that status before Harav Shemesh, it is coming lafugadat tzedukim, even if you're not being metameh, because we're concerned about the stream of the ama aretz, that maybe when he was speaking, it spit onto this reed-shaped receptacle, and then it's going to become tameh, because it's ava tameh. And that's for what we're concerned for. Now, the question then is, the nafal amos. When exactly did this stream fall onto this receptacle? If it's before we cut the reed off, which we're using as a receptacle, halav manahu. That's not a receptacle, and therefore the fact that he spit on it is not a problem. So what are you going to say? That's talking about that Rabbi Eliezer is saying you don't have to be metamit because after they cut it, then when the Amoritz was speaking, it spit on it. And for that we're concerned for, and that we have to tevel without actually needing a sheretz to be metamit. But Mrs. Zahraba, as we said before, we're very careful. Amoritz, you're not coming anywhere near once this becomes a mana, when it comes a kli, because it can be metamit. So that the Gemara says, like we said before, regarding this halacha of the machlekes in Masechtas Para, that la'olam ikmei delachatcha. Truth is, he spit in it before we cut it off. But dilma be'inu dechatcha adayin lachi, maybe at the time that they cut it, it's still moist. That is how they explain the machlekes in Masechtas Para, where Rabbi Yeshua requires you still have to be metamed, because it was a chaver that cut it and never became tamei, and therefore we needed to be tamei, as the Gemara will shortly explain, to then become a tful yaim. But Rabbi Eliezer says, no, you don't have to be metamed, because we're concerned that anyways we require a tzvila, because maybe the Amaretz spit on it when it was still attached, and then when we cut it, it was still moist, and that it's going to become tummy, so that's enough. But now the Gemara concludes the question. Bishlam Rabbi Yeshua, we very well understand Rabbi Yeshua's opinion that requires going ahead and being metamed. Now, hayne de'ikah hakeri l'tzedukim. Now we understand why it's going to be a differentiation to exclude from the opinion of the tzedukim. Because what happens is when you put a sheretz on it, you're making it a full-fledged tumah that requires Harav Shemesh. You need sundown. When something contracts tumah from a sheretz, it needs sundown. Now here, they're not waiting for sundown. They're going to use it right after it's tabled, which is called a tful yaim. So that's a heker. That comes to fulfill the intention of the chazal. It's not like we learned in Mishnah Masechtas Para that this is exactly how they did everything with the paraduma that could contract tumah. You know what they actually did? Although before this process, whatever happened with the Koyin, they were careful, no tumma, no tumma. But when they're actually going ahead with it, they went and they would make the Koyin Tameh who was going to burn the Parat Duma. That was coming to exclude from the opinion of the Tzedukim, because this sect of the Jewish people who denied the oral law, they said that this process of the Parat Duma has to be done only with Harav Shemesh after sundown. Now, that's in contrast to our Rabbanon, who they hold that a tvul yom, even if it was just immersed in the mikvah, but it didn't have sundan yet, is kasher. That's because they learned from the extra words in the pasuk that says v'hiza hatar al atame. It says regarding the paraduma that the one who is pure will spray on the one that's impure. Now, from the fact that says the tahar will spray on the one that's tame, sounds like, what do you mean you pure? Meaning you pure, that means to say that, however, that you are tame. What that comes to teach is that a tful yaim is kasher by par, and the reason is because we're talking about someone that's tahar already. Because the pasuk already said in Bamidbar Yotes, "V'lokach eizah v'tovel b'mayim ish tahar." We already said that the one who's spraying on the one whose tummy has to be tahar. So why does it then repeat it in our pasuk and it says v'hiza ha-tahar? It should have just said v'hiza ala tummy. He will spray on the tummy, and we already know this tummy is a tahar person. Rather, it's coming to teach you that no matter how slight his level of tahara is, that even lowest tahara will work, and that's what's considered v'hiza ha-tahar ala tummy. Now, as Rashi tells us, we know that a tful yom is considered at least the minimum amount of tahara that there is. It's the lowest level that says v'rochatz b'mayim v'toher, that just immersing in the mikvah makes one tahar. So although generally for certain things you have to wait for sundown, but since it's called, quote, at least the minimum tahar, so therefore here when we're adding an extra word tahar, when we already know he's tahar, must be coming to teach us that even a tful yom is going to be kosher for the avodah of the para aduma. And that's why they specifically made everything tameh, then to tevel, and say, look, he's just a tevel yam, and he's doing the paraduma, not like you tzedukah. So again, that makes sense according to Bishua, where when they're making this reed, that let's say the chaver cut, and even if maybe the ma'aret spit on it, however, it's not something that requires Harav Shemesh. So he says, we make it tameh with a sheretz, requires Harav Shemesh sundown, and we don't do Harav Shemesh, we just tevel it, and then we use it. So that is a purpose that we want to do by paraduma. But the Gemara says, but according to Rabbi Eliezer, that he does not require us to go ahead and be metameh with a sheretz. This receptacle for the paraduma ashes, he says it's enough to require a tvila, which we need it to be a tful yom, by this concern, which again we said is one of the chumras of kodshim over chuma, and that is we say kli that was nigma b'tahara, which was as in this case where a chaver had done it, but we're concerned for the fact of the maybe the spittle of the ma'aretz that before it was cut and maybe it's still moist. So the question is as follows: iamet b'shleima ba'alma b'in harav shemesh. If you say that generally that when you go ahead and you have this kli hanigma b'tahara, that not only do you need tefillah, but generally you need to have even sundown for then to be considered tahar. So that would be not like our Mishnah. But then it would make sense what Rabbi Eliezer is saying, that now in this case, by paraduma, that we do not require sundown, we let you go ahead and do it after it was just immersed in the mikvah. So hayne deikar hakeri letzdukin. That would be a differentiation from the tzdukim, and that is because although generally there are tumas that the tahara process requires harav shemesh, but we're saying by paraduma you don't need like regular types of kachim. Here the pasuk is telling you v'hiza tahara l'tamei. It's enough even with a lesser at the minimum type of tahara, which is even by tvul yom. So that would make sense if Rabbi Eliezer is not like our Mishnah, because our Mishnah, as we had been medayik, says only that you need to have a tefillah, but didn't say that you need to have harav shemesh. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer is obviously not like our Mishnah, because the only way he could be considered a differentiation for the tzedukim is if it requires generally harav shemesh. But here we're saying it's never tevul yom. But ili yamid ba'amal lebin harav shemesh. But if you would assume like our Mishnah that generally, when you have a kli hanigma b'tahara, but there is this concern that maybe the spittle of the ma'aretz, which then mandates us to go ahead and do a tefillah, that all you need is a tefillah and you don't need sundown. So mahekir letzdukinikas. Then there's no lesser requirements that we're doing over here by the paraduma of, so to speak, calling him a tful yom, because it's not just a tful yom. A tful yom is something that means it's not completed its tahar process, but it's somewhat of tahar, and that is this lesser type of tahara is only a leniency that we allow, as the pasuk is telling us we could do by the paraduma. But if you don't usually need sundown, as it sounds like from our Mishnah, so then what would be a hekar l'tzedukin? It wouldn't be enough of a discrepancy to show them that we're not doing like them, because it's totally tahar, because all you need is to have a tefillah. So obviously, Rabbi Eliezer is not like our Mishnah, because he obviously requires generally, yes, harav shemesh, and that's why he says you don't have to be metamed, because the fact of that tumah, we're doing less than usually, and only requiring to be done, even for the para aduma, just with the fact that it's a tevul yom. However, Amar Rav, Rav answers, he says, no. Could be that Rabbi Eliezer is like the Tana of Mishnah. We continue on Talmud Beis. However, Asua Ketmei Sheretz. And that is, truthfully, that generally the halacha that Rabbi Eliezer agrees to our Mishnah, that generally a kli shenigma b'tahara, all you need to have is tevila, and you don't need to have harav shemesh. Now then the question was, if you don't need to have shemesh, so what's the hecker? How are we showing that we're doing something less for the paraduma than generally? The difference is because the shveiferes, this straw-like receptacle that we're making for the chatas, ashes, we gave it halachic status as if a sheretz touched it, meaning regarding to the qualification of that being considered a rishon l'tuma and whatever touched that as a shein l'tuma. Now therefore, if not for the fact that a parah aduma could be done in the state of tefil yom, then it would need harav shemesh, because when something is a sheretz touches something else, that object needs harav shemesh. And that is why Rabbi Eliezer holds this will be enough as a hecker lohitzi mi liben shel tzedukim, because although no sheretz ever touched it, but we gave it such a halacha, and therefore the concern of the spittle of the Am Haaretz, where although that's generally halacha, that concern would only require, as the Mishnah says, a tevila. But however, that could still be that Rabbi Eliezer is a talmid by Mishnah, because we gave it a halacha as if not just it was from this concern of the Am Haaretz, but as if we know that a sheretz touched it, and if a sheretz touched it, then it needs harav shemesh, and still we're allowing it to be done in the state of tevil yom. But then the Gemara asks, Elamiyat, if that's the case, that we only made it, so we made it more severe in the sense, that we made it as if a sheretz touched it, but we only made it, and that is the category you're saying we made as if touched it, then leitei tami adam, then it should not go ahead and transmit tuma to a person. And that's because a tamei sheretz, meaning something that became tami from a sheretz, is not an ava tuma. The sheretz is an ava tuma. The thing that was touched from the sheretz, which in this case are the things, the receptacles that we're using for the avoida of the paraduma, only become a rishon. Now the problem is a rishon l'tuma does not transmit tuma to a person, because we don't find tuma to a person or to utensils that touches something that's tuma from something else, meaning that something else transmitted tuma to it, which is like in this case, the sheretz transmitted tuma to this thing, except for a tamei mace, where the pasuk by Midbar Yotah says, by nefesh hanagas titma ad'ar, whoever touches that person, because the mace itself is avi avois, which is the one exception. And then what the person that touched the mess is an ava tuma, that can then transmit tuma to a person or to a kli. But anything else generally cannot transmit tuma to a person. So Alam Atanya, why do we learn the braisa that says, Chaitcha umatvila, the one that cut it and the one that immersed it, toin tvila ni tvila? How exactly, if you're saying that we consider this receptacle as a tmei sheretz, so that means to say that the sheretz which is an av touched this receptacle, making it into a sheretz, again, the sheretz never really touched it, but we're considering halachically like that. But then still, so that would require a tvila. But why the person that cut it and immersed it, why does he require a tvila? If that cannot transmit tuma to a person, Tifti Gemara says, "Ve'ela, actually, we made it not just like a tamei sheretz. We actually made it even a more stringent tuma. Asu ketamei mes. We made this receptacle, this shveferes, as if it became tamei from the mes itself, which now that makes the corpses avi avois, is a grandfather of tuma. Something that contracts tuma becomes an ava tuma, which then that could transmit tuma to a person, making the person a rishon l'tuma." And that's why the person that touches it also becomes tameh. So the Gemara asks, but if that's the case that we gave it a halacha of a tameh mes, tibay hazoi shlesh b'shvi, then just like anything that comes in contact with a corpse, the receptacle should require to be sprayed on day 3 and day 7 from the ash of the paraduma itself. Allah matanya, so why do we learn the braisa that chaytcha matvila toin tvila, that when they cut it and then they immerse it, all that's required are tvilas, which sounds like tvila in hazoi shlesh b'shvi, that immersion is the only thing that is required, but to be sprayed on day 3 and day 7, that's never mentioned. But the receptacle should require a hazoi shlesh b'shvi. So the Gemara says that we finally found the perfect recipe. El asua ketmei meis b'shvi shlesh. Actually, what they did consider him, was the receptacle, as a tmei mes. However, it's not just a tmei mes, it's a tmei mes on day 7, meaning when it already went through the spring on day 3 and day 7. Now, all it requires is a tvila. That is the status that we gave for this object. And therefore, again, the halacha of our Mishnah could be like Rabbi Eliezer, who he requires only tvila as our Mishnah says. But then if it only requires tvila, so how is it like our Mishnah, that if it, then how does it work out regarding the halacha of lohitzi milibin shel tzedukim? How do you understand his opinion if you only always require just tefillah for the halacha of kelim shenigbe b'tahara and not harav shemesh? The answer is because since we're talking about paraduma, we made it considered as if it's something else in a different state. So first we assumed like a tamei sheretz, but then we had a problem with that because then how could the person that touched it become tamei? So we made it okay like a tamei mess, but then we said then okay then you would have to type, you would have to spray it day 3, day 7. So we said no, it's as if, and again this we made up to give it the certain status that it, as if it requires harav shemesh. That when something contracted tumah from a corpse, which we're saying that we consider as if this receptacle did, once it passes its spraying day 3 and day 7, on day 7, all it needs now is a tefillah, and by harav shemesh it'll be tahar. Oh, we're saying here, you don't have to do harav shemesh. It's enough with tful yom. And therefore, that's how we see lo haitzim min libin shel tzedukim. Because again, although really based on the halacha of kelim shenigbe b'tahara, it's like our Mishnah said. All you ever need is tefillah, and you don't need harav shemesh. But since we're considering the paraduma as if it is a tmei mes b'shvi shalai, which would generally require tefillah and harav shemesh, and we're not doing harav shemesh, oh, we're showing paraduma does not need to be like the tzedukim said, harav shemesh is enough by just being a tefillah yam. But now the Gemara asked on this discussion. But v'tani lo in the braisa, that me'olam lechidshu david bepar, we never made up things by the paraduma, and that is, although we made many different milas and stringencies, because the reason is that there's a certain zilzal, a degradation that we do regarding the sanctity of the avodah of the paraduma. Because what we do is we first make the kohen that's going to burn the paraduma, we make him tameh because we want him to then table, so that is a tefillah yom. Now, although therefore because of that we made certain even extra stringencies of tahara, so that people don't think, oh, it's, you know, we're not so careful with tumah and tahara regarding paraduma. But we never made up anything new that never was anywhere else. Now the problem is, if you're going to say that they made this kelim hadigmarim b'tahara, which again, generally all it ever requires is a tefillah, but you said that we consider it like a tamei meis on day 7, there's no greater chiddush. This never happened. Never happened. It never touched a corpse. It wasn't sprayed day 3 and day 7. It's not on day 7 right now waiting for a tefillah that usually requires harav shemesh, that here we're saying all requires a tefillah yom. How do we make that stuff up? We said that by paraduma, although we make milas and we make extra stringencies, but we don't make things up. So how are we saying it that that's how we resolve that Rebbe Lez is the town of our Mishnah, because we equate it as if it's a tamei meis b'yom shvi shaloi, but that never happened. We're being mechadish something that never was. So Mabaya Baya answers that that's not a question. Because Shalai Amru Kardim Mitame Moshev. What didn't we say? We never said regarding, let's say, an axe, a hatchet, that could contract a tumas Moshev. In other words, there is never a type of a tumah of a kardim becoming tumah from a zav sitting on it. That we never said that will become tumah by a paraduma. Because that's a kli that's not rove for that type of a tumah. For example, again, in that case, a kardim is not something that's designated to be sat on. And therefore, it can never become a navatuma from the Moshev of Hazav that we should say, oh, you know, my paraduma, we'll consider that it is a Moshev of Hazav. That we won't say, because that's never such a circumstance. But regarding a kli, a utensil, that is fit to be makabel tuma, we were mechadish circumstantial components that even though a mess didn't touch it, we make it as if a mess did touch it. And if a mess did touch it, then it would have tuma. So Pasuk in Mayikra, regarding this halacha of kardim mitame moishev, the Gemara is just going to show that there's such a halacha that doesn't ever apply. If a zav is sitting on something that's not meant for sitting, like a kardim that's not usually used for sitting purposes, so even if he does sit on it, it's not going to have tumas moishev. So therefore, by that, we're not going to make up new things by paraduma and say, you know what, for paraduma, we'll have extra stringencies, we'll make it as if a kardim is having tumas moishev. That we're not going to make up. But circumstantial components of, let's say, a tumas meis b'shvi shalei, which is a real halacha, it just didn't happen, that we do apply to the halacha paraduma. Now the Gemara is just showing that halacha of kardim etamei moisha, which that never happens. It says in the pasuk b'hayyeshiv al hakli, that if someone sits on the kli, which is the halacha of the tuma of the zav, sitting on something which gets the tuma of the zav. Now the Braisa says, yochel kafis saw b'yashav aleha, you would think that if there's something that's a certain measurement, it's used for storing something. So let's say he turns it upside down, and now he sits on it. Or tarkiv yoshav aleha. The word tarkiv is a combination of trei and kav, meaning it's three kav, it's a half a saw. Similarly, if he takes that and he turns it upside down and he sits on it, You would think Yehi Tameh, that would be Tameh, because a Zav is sitting on it. Tameh Loyim, that's what the Pasuk teaches, V'hayoshiv al ha-kli. If someone sits on the utensil, on the vessel, Asher Yeshiv olav, that he sits on. Now, it doesn't say Asher Yashiv, that he sat on. It says Asher Yeshiv, that he sits on. What that teaches is that he always sits on it. In other words, it's something that's designated always to be used for sitting purposes, then Yitma. Then it will become Tameh. Meaning, Misha Miyuchad Li Yeshiva, something that's designated for sitting purposes. Yatzazed, that comes to exclude this type of box. She'aymim Le, that they tell him that he turned it upside down to sit on it. They say, Amoid, get up. V'nasim Lachtein, we want to do our work. This is not meant for sitting on it. That is the type of a case which is, we don't, not Meir Mechadish, and say suddenly a new halacha by Paradum, and say, no, Paradum is more stringent. We'll say that it will be Mekabel Tumas Meshiv. That we won't. But again, as we said, we could consider the case of the Kli Shenigma B'Tahara as if it is a Tmei Mes B'Yem Shvi Shaloi, because that is a real halacha, we're not making up new halachas, it just never happened, the circumstance, that we could say it will be as if it is by this case of this receptacle, the Shveferes, that's used for the Ashla Paraduma, and therefore our Mishnah could be like Rav Eliezer, because here we consider it as if it is that case, which generally requires Harav Shemesh, and we're not requiring Harav Shemesh, we just go ahead and we tevel it and we use it, and that is the resolution that we could say that our Mishnah, who only requires Tvila by this halacha, is also going to be like Rabbi Eliezer, because although he doesn't require, like Rabbi Shua, to be metamed and then be tevelated, there's not a problem because he considers it like Tmei Meis, Bim Shavir Shalai. Now the Gemara moves on to the seventh stringency that has from Kachim over the halacha of Truma, which again, that is, as we explained in the previous staff, is a second category. They're not Dara de Tumah Dereisa. They're just specific stringencies that apply just to Kachim, which again, we said would not apply, let's say, to Chulin Shanasu al Taras HaKadosh. So the Mishnah said, HaKli Mitzarf Masha B'Toich HaKadosh, the vessel then combines whatever's inside of it for Kachim, meaning if there's, let's say, 100 pieces of food inside this bowl then of Kachim, and it touches one piece, they're all considered Tameh. Avalei Truma B'Nafei Truma. There, the piece it touched is going to have that Tumah. Let's say a Rishon, what it touches becomes a Sheni, what that touches becomes a Shlishi. And then that's it. It can't transmit Tumah further. So the Gemara asks Minan Emili, where do we know this halacha from? And that is where we explain that this halacha seems to be not based on a Tumah concern, but rather it's a specific halacha for Kachim. So Amar B'Chanan, he says, Damakra, it's based on the Pasuk in Bamidbar. It says, Kaf Achas Asar Zahav Malei Keteres. One spoonful of 10 gold pieces, Malei Keteres, full with Keteres. So we're talking about one of the spoons that we fill it up, that it's worth 10 pieces of gold, you fill it up with Keteres. Now, so Rabbi Chanan says, HaKosef Asoy, L'chomash B'Kaf, you see that the Pasuk is equating everything that's in the spoon as Achas as one, because it says Kaf Achas. So that means the whole thing, Malei Keteres, all that incense, are considered achas. So if it says one, even though it's touching just one piece, we consider everything as becoming tamei, and that's a specific halacha that the pasuk says regarding kach. However, Master Rav Kana, Rav Kana asks from a Mishnah Masechtas Idyos. Now, the beginning of that Mishnah says that Reb Shimon said testimony regarding the ashes of the chatas that we're speaking about. This is the parduma ashes, that if a tamei touched part of it, the whole thing becomes tamei. The whole thing becomes invalid. Now that, the Mishnah continues, at the Seif and says that Hoysi Rebbe Kiva. Rebbe Kiva adds on to that testimony. And he says, Haselis, the flour which is used in the Menachis, in the Beis HaMikdash, the Haktiris and the incense, the Halavoyna and the frankincense, which is used, there's two of them on the Shulchan, the Hagacholim and the coals. Now as Rashi explains, although these are not food items, which generally they cannot contract Tumas Eichlin, but there's an element called Chibas HaKadosh, which is the endearment of kachim items, which is what these things are, they make them susceptible to the same tumah that would be even by food items. So therefore, the halacha would apply not just to seilis, which is a food item, but even to keteris, and levoinim, and gecholim, even to coals. So Rabbi Kiva says that additionally to what the Reb Shimon had said in the Reisha, he says, Shimnaga tful yam b'mektsasai, if a tful yam, someone that's not even totally tummy, but is not totally tahar, because he didn't have some down yet, but he had immersed himself in the mikveh, if he touches part of it, then pasal es kulay. Then he invalidates all of them, and that's based on this halacha that we're saying, because the kli, the vessel, combines them all together to be viewed as one piece. Now, the Gemara proceeds with the question on Rav Chanan. But vaha, this testimony of Rabbi Kiva, dirabanan, he must be based on a rabbinic law. Why? Mimai. Midiktani Resha, from the fact from the Resha that we quoted before, where the beginning of that Mishnah opens up, Heid Reb Shimon ben Maseir. Reb Shimon Maseir says testimony. Al Efer Chatas regarding the Paraduma ashes that he said, the same halacha. If some of Tameh touched even part of them, Shatim is Kuli, all the ashes become Tameh. Now, that most definitely must be a rabbinic law. And the reason is, because had that been learned out from Reb Chanan's Pasuk, you can't. Because that Pasuk that says of Kaf Achas, one spoonful, of the Ketoris review as one, as Achas, that's only Kachim Mizbeach. Those are things that are Kachim that are utilized in the Beis HaMikdash on the Mizbeach. But the ashes, the paraduma, they're not even done in the area of the Beis HaMikdash. They're done on a mountain opposite the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, that halacha of Reb Shimon most definitely is rabbinic law, not from Chanan's Pasuk. And Bekatani, Ha'is Reb Akiva, and what does the Mishnah there tell us? The Reb Akiva adds on to that, meaning to say that your rabbinic law, that's by the Efer Chatas, I'm going to add on more than that. And therefore, we see that this halacha of Ketiris, which Reb Chanan learns out from a pasuk, is obviously not biblical. It must be rabbinic law, as we see from Reb Akiva. So Amar Shlakev Shemeshrim Bar Kapara, and we continue on top of Chavdal Man Alf, he says, no, it's not a question. Not a contradiction to Reb Chanan's source for our halacha that it is based on a pasuk. But Lo Nitzrecha, we didn't need the testimony of Reb Akiva, which, as we just pointed out, must be rabbinic. That was Ella, that was only for flour. Of, let's say, l'shiyari mincha, for the remnants of the mincha, where that is the parts that the kahanim eat. And that is because, d'ai raisa, biblically, something that's tzarech l'kli, something that needs a utensil, for example, let's say by ketores, where as the pasuk says, you need to have a kaf, a spoon holding all the ketores together, that is when we said the halacha, as Rav Chanan said, that's the source of the halacha, of hakli mitzarfe. Then the vessel combines them all, and then we say if only part of it becomes tummy, they're all considered tummy. But something that does not require utensil, for example, the remnants of the mincha, which is the parts that the kohen eats, that doesn't need a kli. They can eat it however they want to. Then biblically, in kli mitzarfei, then the utensil does not consider them combined. And that is Baal Asra Rabbanu Begozu. That's where Rabbi Kiva comes in. That's what the Rabbanu came in. Still, they made a decree to avagav the inetzarach lekli, even though it does not need a kli. And hence the biblical halacha of kli mitzarfei would not apply, still they said kli mitzarfei, the vessel will combine it, and that's what Rebbe Kiva is being meisav on Rebbe Shimon, and that's rabbinic. But the Gemara asks, Tenach Seilis, that's very good so far, the case of flour, for the remnants of the mincha. But Ketiris ulevayna ma'ik lememo, what are you going to say over there, where we just said Ketiris is something, and levayna is also, as the pasuk says, needs a kli, and yet still Rebbe Kiva is saying testimony on those things, that kli mitzarfei, which is adding on to Rebbe Shimon's halacha, which as we pointed out, must be coming from rabbinic law, which that contradicts what Rav Chanan had said, that that's a biblical halacha. So that Rav Nachman, Rabbi Avua, he says, that's also not a contradiction. What Rebbe Kiva was coming to speak about was, for example, if let's say you piled up the ketores and the levina on a piece of boiled leather, where d'oraisa biblically, yesh lo toich mitzarf, if it has a receptacle, meaning to say that there's an engraved part to it that goes in, then that's considered a type of kli, like the kaf of the ketores, then it combines everything. Ein lo toich, ein mitzarf, but if it doesn't have a toich, an inside, then it doesn't combine. If it's only flat like a plate, it's not going to be combining it. Now, and that's biblically. But Va'as Rabbanan B'tikinu, but the Rabbanan came along and instituted, which that's the testimony of Rebbe Kiva, the Avagav, the Ein Lo'Taych Mitzarf. Even though it doesn't have a Taych, it's just flat piece of boiled leather, it will combine it, and that's what Rebbe Kiva again was coming to say on, and therefore that does not contradict what Rav Chanan had said, that our primary halachi in our Mishnah of the stringency of Kachim is that the Kli's Mitzarf, all of them, is a biblical halacha that we see from Kafachas. But the Gemara does point out that Upligad Reb Chanan, that this halacha of Reb Chanan, that he said that this din of Tziruv Kli is biblical, argues Ad Reb Chiya Bar Abba. Because the Amr Chiya Bar Abba, Amr Reb Yechanan, he says that Meidusa Shor Reb Kiva, it was from the testimony of Reb Kiva that is in the Mishnah in Idias, that was Nishnas Mishnazu, our Mishnah, that's saying that the Kli is Mitzar of them, he says is based on the testimony of Reb Kiva. Now, as we pointed out before, the testimony of Reb Kiva is being adding on to Reb Shimon's testimony, which is by Efer Chatas, which cannot be based on the Pasuk of Reb Chanan, must be rabbinic. And Reb Kiva is adding on that, who's also saying his halacha is rabbinic. And Reb Chiya Bar Abba is saying that our Mishnah, which is saying the Kli's Mitzarf, Kol Mashav Toich of Kachim, is based on Reb Kiva. Obviously, he learns our Mishnah's stringency of Kachim over Truma based on the rabbinic halacha, which is like Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shimon, and not like Rabbi Chana, who learned that the primary halacha of our Mishnah is a biblical source of Kaf Achas, which again, as we pointed out, is only when it has a Teich, that the Kli is being Mitzarefit, and it's only for somebody that requires a Kli, but somebody that requires and has a Teich, biblically would be required that the Kli is Mitzaref Mashabat Teich, and if only part becomes Tamei, then the rest becomes Tamei, and that's the Machlekes in our Mishnah. Is it a Darais of the Gedin, or is it a Drabon of the Gedin?